Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Metroplex. It's a Tolo Tuesday. Sean and RJ, Mike Fisher in for Choppy here on DFW Sports Station at Fish Sports. If you want to follow him on social media, the Cowboys, are they going to be without Amari Cooper again? What's going on with Leo Collins? What's going on with Tyron Smith? What's going on with Byron Jones? What's going on with Anthony Brown? What's going on with them, Mike Fisher?
And if I may add, what's going on with the possibility that we, Jerry Jones on down, are just overrating the Cowboys? Every single individual. The owner, the head coach, the beat writer.
Vegas told us before the year that it was, we were doing it. Everyone in this radio station had them at 10-6.
Yep.
At the very least.
Yep.
And Vegas, and maybe that was the sucker bets, said that it was closer to 8 or 9. And we were like, what are we missing here? What are we not getting? And this is why Vegas is the best, at least so far this season. But they'll be 3-4 if a lot of these guys don't play.
Yeah.
You think we'll start finding out tomorrow?
Amari Cooper is the central figure here. I think you can expect Tyron Smith to play. Of course, I said that last Friday.
Do you think that if it's Tyron or Amari miss, who's the bigger miss?
Wow.
You said Amari's the central figure, so I assume you were going to say Amari.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to talking to coaches about how did the left tackle play in that game? Did Cam Fleming hold up okay?
Yeah.
And because Tyron Smith told me Cam Fleming's going to hold up okay. So maybe he did. But their offense didn't hold up with Amari Cooper well enough.
We have to figure out if the tackles held up okay and Dak just got murdered because of the blitz packages.
Right.
Greg Williams is going to blitz you nonstop.
Unfortunately for Cowboys... yes, he blitzes as much as anybody in football, but before the Dallas game, he was the least successful blitzer in all of football before the Dallas game. The overrating game, we'll play that in a little bit, but Amari Cooper's not overrated.
No.
There's one. I thought Leighton Vander Esch was Brian Urlacher.
Oh, my gosh. Let's do the narratives at 8. Let's do all the Cowboy narratives. Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, overrated. Dak Prescott does not deserve more than $30 million. Maybe not even that. Chris Richard, you'd be a moron to hire him as a head coach. These are the narratives that are out there.
All tied with my theme, which is maybe, and your thing about the odds, maybe we all just, and maybe this is because Jerry is the greatest hype master in the history of sales. He came on The Fan a couple weeks ago and compared Dak Prescott to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And nobody really laughed hard enough.
Right.
So, yeah, let's do that at 8 o'clock.
All right. Yesterday, Stephen Jones was asked on Ben and Skin, is Jason Garrett now on the hot seat?
Absolutely not. We're ready to go. I think this team just needs to get a win under its belt, and I still think we can have a great year, and I feel good about it and feel great about Jason and his staff, and feel like, we'll go to work here this weekend and move forward.
Dear Tolos, listen, nobody covers the Cowboys like The Fan. How many of us were at the opening of training camp? How many of us went to training camp? The entire staff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The opening glory hole press conference at which Jerry is asked about Jason's job security, and Jerry cups his hand to his ear and pretends he can't hear the question because of that construction drill going on across the street.
That was the answer.
That's the hot seat.
That's the hot seat.
Why are we pretending that the hot seat just happened yesterday?
Right.
The hot seat has been here. First of all, the hot seat's been here for about 40 years.
He doesn't have a contract.
Right. The hot seat for Jason has been 10 years in the making.
There are people who tweet and are texting right now, Autoflex Houston fan text, and it's hard to disagree, saying they'll never get rid of Jason. This is a lifetime deal. They'll never swap him out. That the man who fired Tom Landry is holding on to mediocrity.
Every owner in the NFL wants his coach to be the next Tom Landry. They want him to stay here 30 years. They want him to win 20, go to the playoffs 20 straight years. They all want that. If this coach doesn't achieve premium success, however we want to define that, with this team this year, this coach will not be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys next year. It's an open secret and has been ever since February when Jerry determined he was not going to give a contract extension to this coach.
Jerry Jones on The Fan this morning like he is every single Tuesday. And we're going to have to give him some of the tough questioning like we did to Jason Garrett yesterday. Also yesterday, Doug Peterson, Eagles head coach, on his weekly radio show on WIP, guaranteed a filthy win Sunday night.
I know the sky's falling outside.
Yes.
You know, it's falling, and I get that. And the fans are reeling just a little bit. But you know, we're going down to Dallas, and our guys are going to be ready to play. And we're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East. We control our own destiny. We're right where we need to be. Has it been perfect or beautiful or all of that? No. But all we got to do is try to be 1-0 this week, beat the Dallas Cowboys. We're in first place. And listen, they're reeling too. I mean, they're struggling too. They've dropped their last three games. So this will be an exciting football game.
You sound very confident about Sunday, Doc.
I have to be.
Freaking Angelo Cataldi. I'm just going to let y'all know, no crosstalk this week with this clown. You sound very confident, though. I think
you sound very confident about Sunday, Doc.
I think he says D-O. Dough. He's like Homer Simpson with the dough. It's not
you sound very confident about Sunday, dough.
You sound very confident dough. About Sunday, dough. We'll get Howard Eskin on. I can't stand Angelo Cataldi. The spread is out, by the way.
Yeah.
Let's guess the spread.
Cowboys by 2.
Cowboys by 2.5. Over under is 48.5. And then, of course, later on in the day, during his media press conference, Doug Peterson said, I didn't guarantee anything.
Never said that. I never said that. Never said guarantee a win. No, I'd never do that.
Mike, you work in television as well because you have Emmys.
And good looking.
Do people realize that we're on the radio and other people hear voices that come out of their speakers and at radio.com?
And that the audio lives forever?
Yeah, I don't get that.
Monday Night Football. The Cowboys better than either of these two teams. We already got our Packers answer, I think. What about the Lions, who should have won this thing? They lose to Green Bay on Packers Radio.
Scott down on one knee, arm extended. Here's the snap. Placement made. Kick is up. It is good. It is good. Mason Crosby to the south end zone for a Lambeau leap. And he puts a dagger in the Lions. The Packers have won it 23-22.
Hey, we've been making fun of play-by-play voices this entire week. By the way, we need to go find some Cardinals play-by-play from yesterday. Let's not let that guy off the hook. That was a good play-by-play guy right there. Packers Radio. Is that Larrabee?
Wayne Larrabee.
Wayne Larrabee. Ben and Skin usually has him on. Green Bay comes back to beat Detroit 23-22. Packers never led during regulation until Mason Crosby's 23-yard field goal as time expired. Helped them improve to 5-1. Aaron Rodgers, 283, two touchdowns, and an interception that bounced his wide receivers, let him down all night long. And he did not have Devontae Adams. Matt Stafford threw for a personal record 166 yards in the first quarter, but was held to just 99 the rest of the way. The Lions fall to 2-2-1, and the storyline from this game, Fish, is bad officiating. The Lions getting screwed on two Trey Flowers calls to the face of David Bakhtiari, Packers O-lineman.
Those calls have been around forever.
Yes.
The scrutiny of the calls hasn't been around forever, and that's the problem. I can't fix all the calls. Obviously, if TV replay fixed all the calls, then they'd fix all the calls. Yeah. They don't really do a good enough job. The focus is wrong. Let the refs ref. You're so scared. You're already scared of the Lions. Forget the Eagles. I can see it.
Yeah.
You're Cowboys scared of the Lions.
I'm Cowboys scared of the Bills.
Okay, and you know
Cowboys scared of the Vikings.
Okay, and the life lesson here for you
Cowboys
is
Cowboys scared of Daniel Jones and Saquon.
Well, I don't know about the Giants or the Redskins.
I won't say the Redskins. I'm not scared of the Giants, but I am about Detroit, Buffalo, Minnesota.
Chicago. The only one that the Patriots are a different thing. They're above it. But all these other teams that the Cowboys play in these next eight games are exactly like the Cowboys.
Yeah.
The Bears and the Vikings and the Cowboys.
The Rams.
The Rams, I thought their coach was a young, white, scruffy-bearded genius. His quarterback just got like 0 points in fantasy.
Yeah.
So they're outside of the Patriots, and this is why I don't worry about the Cowboys the way that I can tell, Sean, you're worried. Because they're in the same boat with everybody else. There's five bad teams, there's three great teams, and there's everybody else. And the Cowboys are in that boat. I wish they were great.
I thought they were going to be great.
Because at 8 o'clock, we're going to delineate why you were wrong.
Mavs preseason last night on Fox Sports Southwest. Got their first
offensive rebound leads to a Luka three-pointer, and he's got a three-point play and a three-point basket now in the opening minutes.
Thank you, Followell. Luka had 19, 10, and 7. Porzingis was 17 and 13, and they dominated the Thunder at the AAC 107-70.
I'm still reeling in a good way from watching Giannis on Friday night and Luka on the court at the same time and thinking, yeah, they're kind of equal. Seriously. Giannis is the MVP and a first-team All-Star, and Luka is so clearly going to be a first- or second-team All-Star.
Oh, yeah.
He's that impactful, and he's that electric, and then charisma helps as well. This is a special thing that's being built here.
Mavs play their final preseason game Thursday night before the season opener 1 week from tomorrow. It is going to be fun. The Stars are not fun right now. Their struggles continued yesterday afternoon. They lost to the Sabres 4-0. Buffalo scored a pair of goals in the second and third periods to put the game away. And there's a silver lining to the Stars' rough start. And it might be this. The last time they started 1-5-1, they went to the 91 Stanley Cup Finals as the Minnesota North Stars, Mike Fisher's team. No time to rest on the mistakes, though. They get back to action tomorrow night in Columbus against the Blue Jackets. Good nugget from Roy. 1-5-1, leading to the 91 Stanley Cup Finals. But yesterday, they got smoked by the Sabres. Major League Baseball was on. Yawn.
Swing a high drive to right center field. Well hit. This one way back. Fowler looking up at the wall, and it is gone! Victor Robles with his first career postseason home run makes it 7-0.
Addition by subtraction with no Bryce Harper on Nats Radio. Washington is one win away from their first ever World Series appearance as they're up 3-0 on the Cardinals. It was an 8-1 win behind Strasburg. Struck out 12 over 7 innings. He was doing work with his changeup. Nats can close out the series tonight when they send Patrick Corbin to the mound against Dakota Hudson at 7. And for some reason, the heavyweight fight is on at 3 o'clock. Astros-Yankees Game 3 tied at a game apiece in New York. Gerrit Cole against Severino, and they're playing at 3:08.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that makes sense because that's obviously where the big bucks are and the big primetime numbers come out at 3 o'clock. But back to that Nats-Cart series, Cardinal fans are not happy with what their team has been putting out there against the Nats. In fact, the final call on Cards Radio, man, this guy was so upset.
Swinging a high fly ball in the left field, and that's going to do it. Catches made, and the Nationals win this game. They're 3-0 now in this series, the best of 7-8-1.
Oh, calm down.
Oh my
God. Control your anger.
Man, I need to do a little more research to see if this is like some type of charity case here. They're letting him call these games.
Or a bit.
That's bad.
Because he's getting his mellow on. That's what I think.
Yes, he is. Mike Fisher in for Choppy. The headlines you need to know for a Tolo Tuesday are, oh, by the way, for everyone who says, no one wins $1,000. No one gets that money. We had a winner from the morning show.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue to give out $1,000. Jared from Euless won it in the 9 o'clock hour. So another chance to win for turning it on, leaving it on, starting at 9 o'clock this morning. And anniversary. We want you to come out for free at Texas Live for our 10-year party. It's going down with Chris Woodward, Jalen Smith, Charles Haley, members of the Stars Stanley Cup team, and it's happening next Saturday, the 26th, from noon to 4. Parking, autographs, entrance, all free. More details at 105throughthefan.com.
Yeah, like you said, everything's free when you get in, the parking, the tickets, and the autograph signing. Free autograph signing, Jalen Smith.
Yeah, I'm not going to charge this year.
Well, actually, Fisher was the one who requested a 10-foot table instead of a 6-foot, like everyone else. Now, Fisher, are you charging this year?
I will draw caricatures.
Ooh,
for free.
Whoa.
Honestly, nice. That is amazing.
That's awesome. I mean, Mike Fisher is the Six Flags artist of the fan
when it comes
to those.
Those caricatures are awesome. Let's give out Cowboys Eagles tickets.
That's right. I'm going to be out in Grand Prairie this afternoon at 215 North Carrier Parkway from 4 to 6 o'clock. It's a kids zone giveaway at the Albertsons there in Grand Prairie. So that means kids aged 7 to 12 can be eligible to win a family 4-pack of tickets to see the Cowboys take on the Eagles. We'll give away two sets of those, one at 5 and one at 6 o'clock. So make sure you come see me between 4 and 6 o'clock today in Grand Prairie, 215 North Carrier Parkway. Also, Sean, one big announcement we want to make here on 105.3 The Fan. Our app, radio.com, you have been asking for it. We finally listened, and today we have launched the ability for you to now rewind your favorite shows live.
Oh, no.
As you're listening right now. Radio.com, go download the app, because right now you can rewind the show all the way back to 5:30 when we started this morning. I thought the original process was they were going to add an hour. No, you can go back and listen to the entire show that we started on this morning so you don't miss a single segment. Wow. Here on 105.3 The Fan, radio.com. Go download it now.
I don't know if that's such a good idea. Hey, people keep me like, did Sean say that? No, he didn't. Yeah, he did. Let's rewind
it. The only one mad about this in the Metroplex has been Choppy.
Why?
I don't want people to go back and say and dig up what I said.
Because he'll have to be accountable for what he said.
Yeah, be accountable. Just be more responsible. Do your job.
That's nothing.
When we come back, our poll question of the day, are the Dallas Cowboys, a couple weeks ago, it was, are they still a contender? Are the Cowboys even a playoff team? Next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are the Cowboys going to make the playoffs? We're going to go ahead and put it out there right now. Usually at this time, Mike Fisher joins us dodging the sports talk questions. He gets all upset. You know, I hate when you put a gun to my head. But that's the essence of what we do. You sit at the bar. You have a couple.
We're just doing radio, Fish.
And you're having fun sports debates.
That's
now,
right.
Yesterday, I thought that Kevin Turner got scared. He said they're not making the playoffs, and then he backtracked like Doug Peterson. They were like, what? Are you kidding me? And Ben's like, I'm not throwing in the towel this early. And then KT's like, well, I'm saying they're not going to make the playoffs if they lose to Philly. So I thought there was a little backtrack, but I like the boldness of what KT was saying. So 877-881-1053. The first question we asked that was like this was, are they still a contender? And now we're asking, are they a playoff team? So Roy wrote down a list of teams in the NFC he thinks are better. And when you look at the standings right now, it's kind of telling you that they have to win the NFC East.
No doubt.
Or they're out.
Yep.
Because let's go through the rest of the conference, right? We start with the NFC West. San Fran could be the best team in football. So right now, it looks like the Niners and Seahawks are the class of the NFC. Not just the NFC West. It looks like both of them are getting in. San Fran's 5-0. Seattle has the MVP right now. They're 5-1. And it's a gift that the Rams are struggling at 3-3. And hopefully they get out of there and don't mess with the Cowboys for wild card contention. Then you go to the South. We know that the Saints are sitting pretty. They're winning all these games without Breeze. They're 5-1. The problem is Carolina's 4-2. Now, you would expect them to slow down with Kyle Allen or whatever they decide to do with Cam Newton. So I'm counting on Carolina taking a step back for the wild card.
Why? Just because of Allen? Because the defense, I'm pretty sold on the defense. Kind of like I am with San Francisco's defense. You know, they're really the pieces of their teams that are propelling, you know, them to such a great record. And defense travels. And defense comes to play.
Okay, but why don't we do to those teams what we're doing with the Cowboys and say, yeah, but what if this goes wrong? That's what we're doing with the Cowboys. What if in Carolina there's a quarterback controversy? Because there's going to be. And what if Cam Newton comes back? Because he will. And he's not ready to play.
Yeah, I don't know what the controversy is. Cam Newton doesn't have a job right now until Kyle Allen falters.
Why do you love Carolina's defense?
You're out of your mind. Are you serious? I'll take that bet.
About who's going to...
That Cam Newton's never going to get a crack at this again because the other guy's playing too well?
Well, yesterday we had the debate. Is Cam about to get Romo'd?
Maybe. But is Carolina as good as they look right now? Is this quarterback as good as they look?
He hasn't lost a game as a starter for them. He's 5-0. Yeah, he's also got 9 touchdowns to 0 interceptions, an area that Cam Newton significantly has had a problem with over the last several seasons.
But why do you love Carolina's defense so much? They're middle of the pack. Why are you making them the Bears D or San Francisco's D?
Because in a couple of games, they've shut out teams early and then allowed them to, like, score late. I mean, that Bucs game was over, and then Jameis Winston goes and throws for 400 yards to skew their numbers, you know? They gave up 400 passing yards against Jameis Winston. They forced 5 turnovers.
Okay, so Roy thinks Carolina's definitely better. I'm reserving the right to change my mind on that one. And then you look at the rest of the standings. You move to the North. The North is freaking loaded. So someone's obviously going to win the division out of that. Right now, Green Bay's 5-1 with their lucky win last night. I have no idea what Minnesota's going to do week to week.
Minnesota's roster is really good.
Yes. No idea. They just destroyed the Eagles, but their wide receivers hated the quarterback 2 weeks ago. So Minnesota's 4-2. Then you got the top 3 defense in the league in Chicago.
Yep.
They're 3-2. And Detroit should be... Detroit, you could argue, should have just no losses. They should have beat Kansas City. They tied with Arizona. They should have won last night. So all 4 teams have a case for being at the top of the North, and then it's the Eagles and the Cowboys at 3-3. The NFC is no joke.
Yeah, and this is how close it all is, though. The Saints should have lost to the Cowboys. The Packers could have lost to the Cowboys. The Packers should have lost to Detroit. I think almost every team in the NFC is in that same boat.
I agree, but here's the problem, Mike. I don't believe that the Cowboys' intangibles / coaching gives them any edge above. I believe their talent can play with anybody. I really do. I'm still not going to dog the talent, even though you sound dumber by the day. I do, talking about their defense. Like, I have no faith anymore in the defense getting it done or Jason Garrett overcoming. When you're all even, there are some things that separate you, right? We know that Bill Belichick is going to make a difference for the Patriots.
Don't count him.
Okay.
Get him out of the conversation.
Okay.
Whole different deal.
Okay.
But do the Cowboys not have people on their coaching staff who can do the same things that the Eagles coaching staff does?
I don't see the evidence right now.
But we've decided.
Why did the offense all of a sudden change? Why did the offense, and again, Jason Garrett would disagree with me, but they're facts. It is statistical data that has shown that they are running less play action.
And second down, yeah.
They're running more than they were, and they're throwing deep less often. Why? You drop 30 points in each of your first 3 weeks. I know it was against scrubs, but why would you change your total approach until it stopped working? That makes me lose all faith in their coaching.
What if Kellen Moore is overrated? What if he's in over his head? What if he's a 31-year-old first-time offensive coordinator who's going to get way better but isn't Bill Walsh yet?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was a pretty solid prediction to make, that there was going to be some growing pains here.
Yes. I went on a whole experience rant where I was the bad guy raining on the parade. It's just life. Like, you got to have some bumps and bruises. But why would Kellen Moore all of a sudden get really or more conservative after the first 3 weeks? It makes zero sense.
I don't believe that the head coach, as some people do, I don't believe the head coach marched into the offensive meeting room and said, let's quit throwing on first down. I don't believe that. He saw it work, too. I think they thought they were coming up with winning game plans these last 3 weeks that were clearly different. Clearly different. No matter what, Dak has told me that's not different, and Zeke told me not different. It is different.
It is different. The numbers don't lie.
You're not talking about the end of the game production numbers.
Right.
You're talking about what they're calling on first
I'm
and second down.
I'm talking about the literal amount of play action passes has decreased.
Right.
The amount of deep throws has decreased, and the amount of early throws has decreased. Indisputable factual data.
But they didn't do that to be stupid. They didn't do that to score less points, nor did they do it because Jason Garrett wanted to go in and say, well, I'm going to start doing it my way now that we're 3-0. It's always been his way. He's the head coach. And I think that's what the Kellen morons who thought that he was going to come here and change the world.
Yeah.
It's Jason Garrett's team.
I thought he was going to change the world. I thought that Jerry was telling him. I thought that Jerry's edict was Kellen's coming in here to change the world. What is the reality of the offensive game plan? Let's talk about it. Let's be Garrett, I'll be Kellen, and we start game planning today.
I mean, we're going to work together.
Okay.
Didn't Garrett tell you he used that catchphrase that he actually used? It's a collaborative effort.
Yes.
And Choppy hated it, but it is true.
So as Kellen Moore,
yeah.
When the season starts, I can't put in 85-90% of my plays.
Not if I
that is not a reality.
Not if I don't like them.
Okay.
There's segments on this show that are Roy's segment, but it's still your show, right? Roy can't do a segment that you don't give a thumbs up to.
Right.
Kellen Moore is not saying, hey, listen, Coach Garrett, I don't care what you say.
Right.
I'm running triple reverses in this game.
Right.
That doesn't happen on this staff or any other staff.
Right.
Same thing on defense. Chris Richard came in here and did some things and continues to do some things. But the essence of what they do is Rod Marinelli's essence. And even the defense still belongs to Jason Garrett.
All right, Dub, the NFC teams that you're taking over the Cowboys, 877-881-1053. And then we're all going to be on the spot of whether they're going to make the playoffs.
Right now on a neutral field, I'm taking San Francisco, Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, Carolina, Minnesota, and the Rams.
Wow.
I have 7 teams in the NFC. Now, I'm not including the divisional teams. And this is probably a separate topic, but maybe we should look at how much the Cowboys have feasted on the NFC East and the lowly Giants and the lowly Redskins.
Well, we don't need to look
relative to how they do against the rest of the league.
You don't need to look at the rest of the division. It's do you think they're better than Philly or not? That's what the playoffs are going to come down to.
That's
period. You don't need to talk about the Giants and the Redskins. It's a waste of time.
And by the way, Roy, the thing about, well, the Cowboys feasted on those have-nots, same thing. Look at the Redskins end of season. They get the same thing at the end of the season. That's why Jerry kept telling us it's a good thing we're shoving these in our pocket. We're shoving the Giants, the Dolphins, and the Redskins in our pocket because he knows.
The Eagles play the Redskins twice in the last month.
End of the year, the Eagles are going to shove 3 wins in their pocket.
I'm going to pick them to miss the playoffs. I'm going to say that Philly edges us out, and the schedule combined with the NFC being loaded with Minnesota, Carolina at 4-2. Chicago, Detroit lurking, Seattle or San Fran, one of them's getting a wild card. The Rams probably getting better. I don't know what record wins the East, but I'll say the Eagles still barely win it, and I think the Cowboys miss the playoffs.
I think I'm with you.
Okay, I think the Cowboys win 10 games and make the playoffs.
Wow.
I think they...
10?
I think they, in this group of 8 games, I think they go 5-3 in this group of 8 games. Including a win over the Eagles.
And then they win their final two then.
And then.
Because you have them going 7-3 the rest of the way.
The final one is Redskins.
Yes.
So I'm saying this is a sandwich. They should have beat the Jets. Shoulda. You know, whatever you want to use the word shoulda. They should have beat the Jets. They should beat the Redskins. And then go 5-3 in the sandwich in between. And you're in there somewhere. I just want us to remember that if we were doing a talk show in Los Angeles right now about the Rams, there's no way we would be saying great things about the Rams. They stink.
Yeah.
And the thing they're good at, all the things they're good at, supposedly, they're terrible at. All the things. Play calling, the quarterback, the head coach, the run. Who's their running back?
So what's your point?
That the criticism of the Cowboys, as fair as it is, and then our 3,000-mile-away view of, yeah, but the Rams, they look like they got something. The Rams do not think they've got something.
Right.
Right now, the Rams are as scared as the Cowboys as the Cowboys are of the Rams. And so is it with the Eagles, no matter what Coach Duh says. The Eagles know that the Cowboys are as good as they are, and the Cowboys know that the Eagles are as good as they are.
What's the consensus on the fan text?
A lot of people tending to agree with you and I that the Cowboys are struggling in a world of hurt right now. From the 972, the Cowboys have completely lost it. It's very possible that the three teams they beat were the three worst teams in the NFL. If you're only better than the three worst teams in the NFL and then you lose to everybody else, that only makes you the 28th best team in the league.
When we come back, college football kegger, Red River recap, and why some people are starting to say you better not be tanking for this quarterback next.
College football!
Jalen looking to throw, does. Lamb caught it, touchdown! Sooners! C.D. Lamb, and Oklahoma strikes first in Dallas. Lob out, C.D. wide open, caught at the 30, to the 25. Dancing midfield to the 20, breaks a tackle, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! T.D. for C.D. Oh, mama! C.D. caught at the 10, breaks away to the 5, he's still on his feet, and he pogos. Did he get in? Touchdown! How did he do that? C.D. Lamb, a magic trick on the far sidelines, and he hopped in on one foot.
Good grief, dude. Chill out. Sooners Radio with the call. Oklahoma wins 34-27 at the Cotton Bowl, Mike Fisher.
Maybe halfway between the Cardinals broadcaster and the OU broadcaster, we have perfection.
What a game today by Oklahoma here in the Cotton Bowl. The fabric of our lives.
Hey, man, CeeDee Lamb was a monster. I don't know how that guy is that strong because he's a slighter-looking dude, and Longhorns were bouncing off of him all day long, 10 for 171 and three touchdowns. I thought Jalen Hurts got exposed a little bit. Oklahoma could have really killed Texas by more, but they butchered a bunch of opportunities in the red zone in the first half. Longhorns made it closer in the second half, but Oklahoma controlled this game. OU controlled this game. They win 34-27 at the fair. Any other observations on this one before we talk about Troy's Aggies here?
I will toss one in. Oklahoma, and this would be, if you're a Sooner guy and you want to make the argument that Lincoln Riley is going to stay, they get, alongside Alabama, I think they get all the offensive players in the country that they want. And I think they've already got lined up. The next great high school quarterback is already committed to coming to Oklahoma. So they are dynastic in terms of contention.
Well, I need to say this, too. That was the best I've seen the Sooners defense look in years.
Yeah.
They were flying around the ball. Ellinger got held to 210. Johnson had 95 on the ground, but they at times looked completely different from what Mike Stoops was putting out there.
It was men against the boys. And Dane Brugler, our good friend, NFL draft guru over at The Athletic, people are like, CeeDee Lamb.
Your good friend. Don't speak for me.
Oh, wow. CeeDee Lamb, first round pick without question. He's like, listen, I have him as a wide receiver too. There's so many good wide receivers in college football today that he doesn't even know if he's going to be at number one in this next draft coming up. It's going to be really fun, this next draft class of wide receivers.
Of course, the game that everyone else was looking forward to at night with the new number one quarterback in the country, LSU over the Gators.
Burrow, snap back, stands in the pocket, releases, catches, grabbed by Chase at about the 30-yard line, far side, he's in for the score, touchdown, touchdown, Tigers! 54-yard touchdown pass, and the Tigers make it 41-28.
42-28 was the final, and there are people now who are saying that Lawrence Tynes. Does anyone remember Lawrence Tynes?
Yeah.
Who was he?
Giants?
Yes. Giants kicker Lawrence Tynes goes after Tua T yesterday, saying, I've been talking to NFL executives. This guy will not have a successful NFL career, and he is a fifth-round pick. He destroyed Tua
Tagovailoa?
Yeah, Tua T. And then I heard Michael Lombardi, former NFL GM, say there's no dispute. Like, Joe Burrow is the guy over Tua T. So tanking for Tua, some people are trying to poke some holes in it right now. But Lawrence Tynes, the Giants kicker, went all in yesterday for the hot draft take. You guys see it? You think Tua's overrated and watching him play?
It depends on what you want.
You just saw a lot of it.
Yeah, we're not playing that clip. quit calling for the Bama radio clip as my Aggies get destroyed by Bama. I say destroyed. They lose by 19, which is what upset me because I was like, the spread's 17. If we beat the spread like we do with Clemson, that's great. We're going to lose to Bama. Okay, I'm a realist. I get that. But here's the thing about Tua T, as you call him, and about Burrow. Depends on what kind of quarterback you want for your NFL team. Do you want a quarterback like Marcus Mariota that can go out there and make plays? Obviously not now.
What plays?
Not now. But coming out of college, you expect him to be the quarterback with no personality? Or do you want someone like Burrow who can make plays, but you're going to have the Baker Mayfield effect and the kid that will come out there with the attitude and the sass? That's the question.
Tynes tweeted, the tank for Tua thing is a joke. This cat will not be a starter in the NFL. No way, no how. I take him in the fifth to seventh round as a backup at best. Great kid, but he is all hype on a superior team with superior talent.
He's got NFL scouting people saying
talking
that
to NFL
Tua is fifth or seventh round?
Yep.
I just don't believe that. I you can have an opinion saying, I just don't think he's got what it takes. You can say that. But I don't think I could find an NFL person that would say he's going to drop to the seventh round.
Well, I don't think that's specifically what they're saying. I think they're saying that that's the talent level that he has.
Not that he'll go there. Yeah. That's what they would take.
Okay. No one would ever make the case that Tua is not going to be a first rounder based on what – if he didn't play another snap this year, he would still be a first rounder.
If you're on my scouting staff and you say, I think he should be in the seventh round, and I say, well, where are you going to draft him? And you say, well, no, I'll take him in the first.
Yeah.
Then you're fired.
Well, no, I think the point that they're the point you're trying to make is, and the point I would always make is, there's always one team out there that thinks very highly of a player that no one else really thinks anything of. And if 29 teams in the league thought Tua was a seventh rounder and one thought he was a first, he's going in the first.
And by the way, CBS Sports with their mock drafts, they're already doing mock drafts out there. They have Tua going number two to Miami.
And then, of course, whenever LSU wins, we got to play the greatness of Coach O.
Welcome to Death Valley. Well, opponent's dream, come to die.
Good luck, coach.
Go Tigers.
The Roy and Troy bit that will live in infamy. Notre Dame, 30-27 over USC. Penn State, 17-12 over Iowa. This Rutgers game, RJ sent me this to talk about.
Rutgers?
Yeah, the reason, they lost 35-0 to Indiana. But they managed 75 total yards and 6 first downs. But it comes from the quarterback, who completed just 5 passes for a grand total of 1 yard. The most completions for fewest yards since the year 2000. The next lowest total yardage was 5 completions for 46. That's some Jared Goff stuff right there. those are some Rams offensive numbers.
I don't know why Rutgers even has a football team anymore. They lose that game 35-0. Before that, they lose to Maryland 48-7. Before that, Michigan 52-0. And they're about to play number 20, Minnesota.
If it wasn't for this show, I wouldn't even know Rutgers had a football team.
Right, exactly. What about Baylor? Baylor versus Texas Tech. Man, Matt Rhule just continuing to get it done.
Charlie Brewer with Hasty in the backfield. Takes the snap. Give to Hasty.
He's in! Touchdown, Jamichael Hasty. The Bears win in 2 overtimes over Texas Tech. The Bears are 6-0 on the season.
Baylor Radio with the call.
Did Matt Rhule just sign a new deal?
Yes.
That, in theory, would keep him at Baylor? NFL teams are going to call him again. The Jets called him last year. These phone calls will happen again.
Penn State, did you see the T-shirts they were wearing? Rocks, chains, tattoos, dreads, and We Are shirts before their game. That's because of this old white guy who wrote a letter to the Penn State players being like, don't you know you shouldn't wear your hair like that? And don't you know, like, tattoos and, like, earrings, those types of things, they shouldn't be a representation of our school.
Yeah.
And James Franklin, their head coach, addressed it, and the players wore these shirts before they got confiscated pregame.
But doesn't Penn State know that the Paterno stuff is still too recent for them to be wagging behavioral fingers at anybody else?
No. Not when a guy writes that you can't have tattoos or dreads. That's racist. So Penn State has the right to respond back to this old, out-of-touch racist who was telling them, hey, can you stop looking a little less thuggish? Can you stop doing that? And you know, James Franklin was speaking out against that, in my opinion. That's the way I saw it.
Yeah, James Franklin spoke out about it, and you mentioned the players were wearing the shirts until they were taken away from the Penn State athletic department head, who said, quote, "We asked our students to remove the shirts out of an abundance of caution for NCAA compliance." So they were in support of James Franklin, but they weren't 100% in support of the players making their own little protest and statement about it on the field. Plenty of people texting in on the Autoflex Leasing fan text, 877-881-1053, on the Tua Tagovailoa opinions. Number one, it's pronounced Tagovailoa. There's no N, but that's how he said it's pronounced, from the 972. From the 817, if Jalen lasts to the end of the first round, the Cowboys should consider taking him with their first round. If Tua. Oh. If Tua lasts to the first round, the Cowboys should consider taking him in the first round. And plenty of others saying that Tua throws the most accurate ball they've ever seen from a college quarterback, that from the 214.
Speaking of Oklahoma quarterbacks, where we were talking about Jalen Hurts, Troy has tweeted out the XFL has announced their quarterback assignments for each of their eight teams. Landry Jones will lead the Dallas Renegades under Bob Stoops. Cardale Jones, DC Defenders. Remember when there was first-round hype around Cardale Jones at Ohio State? Aaron Murray, the Tampa Bay Vipers. Is this the salary that got leaked the other day? Is it like $55K per player for most of them?
Yeah.
Salary?
Yeah, the average salary amounts to a $52,000 annual income, which paid out through the amount of time their season will only pay them out about $23,000, the average annual salary.
All right, when we come back, all the Cowboy narratives, all the storylines that we're going to ask Jerry Jones about. We overrated them to start the season. Kellen Moore's been handcuffed. Jalen Smith and Van Der Esch really overrated and overhyped. And Chris Richard and Rod Marinelli are just outdated. True, false. The Cowboy storylines and narratives before Jerry, after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.